Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to Psalm 97. Psalm 97, it has only 12 verses. Our focus will be on the last three verses, so we shall read all 12 verses for context, and then we shall begin by focusing our study on verses 10, 11, and 12. Responsively, please, I shall begin. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of owls be glad thereof. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. He that loveth the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Last two verses together, please. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Amen. May God bless us always in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. Very often we forget that whenever we read the Bible, we are hearing the voice of God. And so sometimes when the word of God is preached and is explained to us, we think that we can pick and choose because we think that the word is the word of the pastor or the word of man. And that will always be to our own detriment. I agree with you that this is a translation of God's word. The Word of God was given to us in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But the Word of God has always been intended for one purpose only, and that is to be obeyed. And we can't obey what we can't read. And therefore, we depend on a translation. And since English is our language, our first language, for practically all of us, and therefore, just because it is read in a translation, perhaps we sometimes forget that it is the very Word of God, albeit in English, that we are listening to. And so what we have done a moment ago in responsive reading, it was the voice of God Himself that had reverberated throughout this auditorium. It's not the Word of man. And so the Lord tells us, ye that love the Lord hate evil. The problem with us is we think that we can love God and evil at the same time. Because we pick and choose what is convenient according to what we find the Word of God to be suitable to my way of life. We agree with God. But when it comes to the portions of God's Word that we do not agree with, we think that we should not listen. We do what is right in our own eyes, and we turn our back on those portions of God's Word that we do not like, because it changes our way of life. God said, what I love, you love. Whatever and whoever I hate, you must hate. You mean God has this emotion called hate? If you were to have a very quick glance at all the sermons, and I was given this theme, ye that love the Lord hate evil. And so, by God's conviction, I've chosen passages that talk about hate because I think we know sufficient enough about love. But very often we do not know this emotion called hate. And if you look at the nine messages beginning with tonight, you realize that there is one passage that describes what the Lord hates. Message number 4, Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. And I can show you other Bible verses that talks about the Lord hating. you realize that in some of these passages, the Lord does not only hate sin, the Lord also hates the person who sinned. So in other words, the emotion called hate was not an emotion that came upon man after the fall. So when God made us in His image at the beginning of time, on the sixth day before there was sin, God said, I made man in my image. He said to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, and He did. That means this emotion of hatred was found in us, even though there was no reason for God to exercise that emotion. Neither was there a reason for man to exercise that emotion, because man was not in sin. But the moment man fell into sin, you realize that this emotion of hatred in God had to be exercised. God had to tell us in certain portions of God's Word that these are the things that I hate. Because you love me, you must also love the things I love and hate the things I hate. You cannot love the things I hate. Because to love the things I hate, God says, means you don't love me. God is not telling us something that is conditional. He is giving us something that is very clear and absolute. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Plain and simple. Why? Because that's me. That's who God is. Everything that is evil in the eyes of God, the Lord hates. And so our focus for this camp will be on a study of the things that God hates. We must hate too. Of course, it is impossible to study everything about the word hate. So we selected only a certain number of messages that will help us begin our study on the word hate. Because if you were to do a simple concordance search, you realize that the word hate is used many times. And there will be a long list of the things that God wants believers to hate. And so we have highlighted certain portions of God's word to teach us. Because we're living in a world that is so seductive. And if we hate the wrong things and love things that we are supposed to hate, we are in trouble, because we call ourselves Christians. And you know, whenever a Christian sins, it's always a double transgression. When an unbeliever sins the sin of adultery, he just simply sins the sin of adultery, and that's it. When a Christian sins the sin of adultery, he sins the sin of adultery, and at the same time, he brings shame to the name of Christ. Every transgression of a child of God is always a double sin, at least. Sometimes it may be more than a double sin, but at least it is a double sin. And that is why it is very needful for us to have the mind of God and the heart of God. Because on Sunday we talk about how we must love Him with all our soul, with all our heart, and with all our mind. And that means if you want to love God the way that God accepts your love, then you must also hate everything that God hates. You cannot mix it and say, I love God and evil at the same time. That kind of love does not exist in God's vocabulary, in God's dictionary. And if you think that you can love God in this manner, then you are fooling yourself. And if you're truly born again, remember, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost at the point of our salvation. That is taught in Romans 5:5. You and I have this love. And if this love is truly found in your heart, then this instruction from Psalm 97, ye that love the Lord, hate evil, must also be something that we want to do. There must be this inclination within our soul. You may hear this for the first time, be that as it may, but the desire to accept this truth from God is not from me. You see this. This is not my book. I didn't write this. This was written more than 2,000 years ago, because the book of Psalm was written in the BC period. Long, long time ago. And so this is what God says. This is not what I say. And so God says, if you love me, you must hate evil. And so what exactly is evil? Well, evil would be all things unbiblical. All things that are not according to God's will. And if you look at the last message, you'll find in that last message, hate them all. I deliberately entitled it as hate them all. you look at the passage, Luke 14. What does it mean by hate them all? Please take note of this passage. Again, this is not my writing. This is God's word. We'll deal with this message as our final message on Friday evening, but just to let you know what that focus is, I'll read to you Luke 14, verse 25. And there went a great multitude with him, that is Christ, and he turned and said unto them, you want to follow me? Very good. But these are my terms and my conditions. If you really want to follow me, that is, be my disciple. Now he's talking to the multitude. And the true disciples were there, because before this, he was talking about the Great Supper, where many rejected the offer, that is, salvation. And so he says, if you really want to follow me, to the great multitude, he turned toward and said to them, if any man come to me, alright, that means you want to follow me continuously, all the days of your life, you hate not your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brethren, your sisters, yea, your own life. You cannot, you have no power to be my disciples. Impossible. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he has sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and hath not and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth condition of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, these are Christ's terms for salvation. This is the list of the people dearest to our heart that you must include in your list of hatred. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but man cast it out. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. Because he's describing about salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, what is the point? You call yourself a Christian, but you do not have the life and the essence and the impact of a Christian to influence the lives of the people around you. Jesus says, you are like a salt that has no taste. You will just be cast out. In other words, the Lord is not going to lower His standard. He's not going to change His mind. And this is something I believe very needful. Because we live in a world of great compromise. We live in a world where our family members seem to be more important than us. And we do not know how to relate to them in a manner that is pleasing to God. And we are prepared to compromise. And so the word evil here is not up to you or me to define. The word evil literally means anything that brings shame to the name of Christ and God, which means anything that is not done according to the teaching of God's word, any relationship that we have that is not based upon God's truth and God's teaching, and we continue to indulge in such relationships, God says that's evil. And if you do not hate that kind of relationships and that kind of emotions and feelings, whereby you love your son, your daughter more than me, and you are prepared to compromise the truth because of them, for their sake, you are prepared to do something that is unspiritual, unbiblical because of them, that means you don't love me. Don't say you do. God says, any area of your life that is more important to you than to me, that has caused you to transgress and disobey the word of God, you don't actually love me. And if you don't love me, that means either you are not a believer because the love of God has not been planted in your heart yet, because you can't. Jesus said, remember in Luke 14, no power to be my disciple. That means there is no true conversion in your heart and in your soul. But if you are truly born again, and you know this is the right thing to do, and you refuse to do it, then the Spirit of God in you and the love that is still in you, the love of God, will make you a miserable person. You have no peace. You have no joy. Everything that you try to do without this obedience in your heart, without the right kind of love, it will be tasteless. But if you do not have this feeling of tastelessness and vexation of spirit, and you still experience peace in your soul, then it will have to be the first alternative. You don't have the love of God, which means the Spirit of God is also not in you to bring vexation to your spirit. That is why this theme is very pertinent and apt for our last days. Because there are too many people who call themselves Christians. Too many. So many, so much so that you and I are affected by the sad, low standard of holiness. Seriously. Just because we come to church, just because I attend prayer meeting, just because I do a little bit more than my neighbor, we think we are very holy. We are not comparing with God's word. We are comparing with another person that is worse than me, and that makes me feel comfortable and happy. That is the saddest delusion for a believer to be in, but that's the last days, because we live in a time where Christianity, the Bible says, has turned apostate. And that's why it is so needful for us to recognize what are the things that the Lord in the Bible wants me to hate as a child of God. So that these things I know the Lord hates, because it is taught in the Bible, I must hate them too. So that the love of God will truly be found in my soul, in my being. And then when I have the right kind of love, there are three amazing blessings and benefits that you find in these three verses. The first is the Lord will take care of you. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to allow the things of the world to cripple you, to cause you to disobey the word of God because you are frightened. You trust Him. I was very encouraged by the testimony of some of the brethren in BPCWA, the camp that we had just last week, where Reverend Joseph shared with us, my wife and myself, about some of the members refused to take any job that will cause them to miss Lord's Day worship. They would rather be without job and trust in the Lord to provide, no matter how difficult it was. And there was one person in the church who broke the Sabbath, who didn't care, so that he could earn money. And then this person will take some money that he had broken the Sabbath, and also not only broken the Sabbath, he was prepared to go away and leave family so that he can work in some mine field somewhere that will require him to be away from family and from church for one whole week, every 2 weeks. 2 weeks of every month he will be away. And then he found out this young man was prepared to not compromise his faith, and he wanted to give him some money. The young man said, "No, thank you, I do not need your money." Because he was very afraid that this man who knows, "See, I broke the Sabbath, I have money. You want to keep the Sabbath, you have no money, so I give you money." He says, "No, thank you. I do not want this kind of money." And he held on and he remained faithful. And then by God's grace and mercy, the Lord found him a job. What is the benefit in his life? It's not finding the job. It's the knowledge that I can trust my Lord. If I honor the Lord promised me He will honor me. And he passed the test, and so the benefit to his spiritual well-being is priceless. He trusted in the Lord to provide. And so when the job came, that does not require him to give up his Lord's Day worship. You know how wonderful he felt in his heart, and how wonderful a testimony that he was to his wife and to his children? He is to his wife and his children. To be able to let the children and the wife to see that dad is prepared to not have a job than to break the Sabbath. He trusted the Lord. You see, the Lord says, "You hate evil, you love me, what will be your benefit?" He preserved the souls of his saints. The word preserve means I will put a hedge around you. I will put a hedge around you to protect you, your soul, of his saints, his holy ones, those who love him. They hate evil. You see, loving God is more than just loving some being that is out there in the air. You can see God, right? How do you love God? You love God by loving His Word. You obey God, you obey His Word. Where is this God found on earth? In the Bible. I'm not saying that the Bible is God. The Bible is not. The Bible is the Word of God. It is not some subjective mental feeling and assent that I give something that is theoretical, that has no practical impact. See, we say we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love God. But where is the Christ for me to love? How do I know I really love Him? You obey His word. Every jot and tittle. Every child of God must desire in his soul to obey every jot and tittle of God's word. Do you know the Bible tells us that there's one thing that we can do perfectly right here and now on earth? That is to obey the word of God perfectly. Do you know that? That is what the Lord says in Matthew 5:48. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Context, the word of God. Because the whole chapter of Matthew 5, since the verse on be salt and light on the earth, the focus is on God's word. How much of God's word do you know? You know 10% of God's word, you obey the 10% perfectly. And so you know that if you sin, what is the teaching of God's word? Repent. So you obey. You sin against a person, you obey. I go to the person, I am sorry, please forgive me. I will not let pride stand in my way. That's what it means by obey the word of God perfectly. And as you mature, you know more of God's word 20%, you obey 20% perfectly. There is no way we'll know God's word 100%, obviously. But whatever percentage of God's word you know, you obey perfectly. That's how you express your love for Him. You love your wife, you do what she wants. Correct? She says she wants to eat that food, you buy that food for her. You love her, so what her words means everything to you. You love God, and His word means everything to you. You say you love Him, and the word of God tells you to do this, I don't do. You think God accepts that kind of love? You and I know that is not love. You love Him, and you hate evil. God says, I will preserve your soul. I will protect you. I will take care of you. You believe me? I love you, I say that you love me, I will protect you. You believe Him. And He will keep His promise. He will never fail you. But if you choose your own way and you disobey and you live in sin, you expect Him to protect you when you love evil, when you disobey His word. He tells you to love me more than your wife, your family, your children, and everyone in your life. And you are prepared to disobey the word of God for them, and then you expect God to protect you when you pray. That means you're asking God to break His own word, because, Lord, you said, love me and hate evil, and I don't, and I pray to you, you still answer me, and you still protect me. You are basically make God into a transgressor if you think that God will say to you, you love me and you hate evil, and you don't, and you love God and you love evil at the same time as and when you desire it. And then you think that God will still protect you because you pray for it. You think that God protects you because you're healthy and wealthy. That is not God's protection. That is God showing mercy and grace to you. Until such time, you do not know where your Kadesh Barnea is. You know what's Kadesh Barnea, right? Kadesh Barnea was the town or city that the 12 spies went into Israel, surveyed the land after a period of 40 days, came back and said, Lord, you are right, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, but there are too many giants, we are like grasshoppers, we cannot go in. Moses said to them, please, don't say those words. The people, 603,000 plus, were convicted by these 10 faithless spies. And then Joshua and Caleb chipped in and said, yes, please, don't say you cannot go in. Please, we can go in with God's help. The moment the 603,000 spies of 3,000 Israelites says, or 20 years and above says, no, we cannot go. The moment they say those words, you know what God said? God came in and intervened and said, all right, for every day you survey the land, 1 year you will spend in the wilderness. How many days you took? 40 days. 40 years. And all you old folks, 20 years and above, adults, you now make decision on behalf of the whole nation, and you say, cannot go in, all of you will die in the wilderness. You know what happened after that? They repent immediately and say, Lord, we have sinned. God said, it's too late. We want to go in now. It's too late. Don't go in. I'm not with you anymore. They put on their weapons and they went in and they were soundly defeated by the Amorites. They were kicked out of the land of promise. They have been murmuring and murmuring from the moment they left Egypt. Right up to the time in Kadesh Barnea, it was about a year and a half. They never knew that Kadesh Barnea was their last murmuring. And that was it. They did not know it was the last. But it was their last, because all 603,548 of them, because the numbering was 603,550. You minus two. Joshua and Caleb. All of them died in the wilderness. And that was it. There was no way God is going to change His mind. That's it. That's why Kadesh Barnea is something that you must avoid. You keep on turning your back on Christ. You keep on disobeying the word of God, thinking all is well with your soul, because you have not been chastised yet. It is not. You wait until Kadesh Barnea comes. That's it. Even if you want to repent, you can't. Because they said, Lord, we have sinned. God says, that's it. You're all going to die in the wilderness. Period. Period. Please, love the Lord and hate evil. The Lord promised you these three benefits and blessings. I will protect you, the souls of His saints. He delivered them out of the hand of the wicked. You will never lose your salvation. And He delivered you from the hand of the wicked. If your service, your will for God on earth is not done, no harm will come to you physically. Daniel's mission was not done when he was thrown into the lion's den. Not even the lion could open his mouth and kill him. When Mordecai and Esther's service in the Persian Empire were not done, Haman's plot and plan to hang him will never happen. The Lord will deliver. As long as you know that your life is in God's hand, as long as the will of God in your life is not done, all the evil men, no matter how powerful they are, they try to destroy you and snuff out your life, they will never succeed. Never. King Saul used his mighty power and army to snuff out the life of King David. He never succeeded. Young Joseph's own brothers sold him to Egypt, thinking that he will just simply die off. When his time on earth is not done, his life of a slavery, his life as a prisoner, the Lord will watch over him. The Lord will preserve and deliver him, which the Lord did in his time. Promoted him from prison to prime minister overnight, just like that. Why do you think Psalm 97 verse 1 to verse 9 described the greatness and the power of God? And the greatness and the power of God was in light of creation. The lightning, the hills melted. The presence of the Lord is in the whole earth. To tell us, the presence of the Lord is in the whole earth. Wherever you are, whoever you are, as long as you are my holy ones, the souls of the saints, the holy ones, I will put a hedge around them and make sure that their salvation in heaven can never be taken away forever. And in terms of their physical life and the protection, I will take care of them. If it is not time for their work for me to be completed, they are indestructible. Indestructible. But if your time is up, please understand, even when the Lord allow William Tyndale to be captured, strangled, and burned at the stake, did the Lord protect and deliver? Yes. His spirit is in heaven. William Tyndale's spirit is in heaven. Same for Stephen, after he preached that amazing preaching, his message in the book of Acts, they stoned him to death. He looked up to heaven, the Lord stood up from where he was and received him into glory. And he said, Father, forgive them. No animosity, no hatred, no bitterness. He knew what he was doing and he knew where he was going. The Lord can deliver our physical body when our time of service is not up. And when our time of service is up, He makes sure that our soul and our spirit will always be well taken care of. So please do not think that delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked is always physical. It can be physical, but spiritual always. He will keep you in your faith. That even if you lose your life, your faith will be the victory. That when people remember you, they will remember the courage of your faith. And will be encouraged and strengthened because of your wonderful, courageous testimony. This is the blessing that is yours to protect, to be protected by the Lord. All the days of your life, from the moment you're born again in Christ, the Lord promised us, I will never leave you. You believe? Those who love the Lord and hate evil will have no problem believing. The people who love God and hate evil and love evil at the same time, they are the ones who are in trouble. Because they keep on vacillating. You try to talk to them and you tell them, they will find excuses. They will try to concord all kinds of notions to suit their own conscience. But if they are truly born again, they know they can deceive man, but they can never deceive God Almighty. That's why the first 9 verses describe the greatness of God, the Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice, and let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. You and I, sometimes we make God into our own image, and He is no better than an idol. And that's why we don't fear God. We are not afraid of God. We continue to follow Him, obey Him, love Him, and relate to Him on our own terms. Sometimes in instances like this, do you not wish that these people don't call themselves Christians? Maybe it is better for them not to call themselves Christians, because when you call yourself Christians and then you live like this, you know how many hearts and lives you damage, because you don't think in terms of eternity. You think in terms of your 70 years on earth. And you think that you are loving your children well by hating God and love the things that God hates. You think God is not treating you well by telling you that if you want to be my disciple, you hate everyone in your life, your family, your children. Otherwise, I won't accept your love and I won't accept you as my disciple. You think that is hurtful and that is bad for you? God knows your heart and my heart better than you know it. He knows the sinful nature in man before salvation. He knows that sin is found in every baby born to this world. They are all predisposed to love the world and to hear the voice of the devil. You know that, right? Every baby born to this world is predisposed to sin. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are all found in them. The only difference is, when they are babies, when they are infants, they do not know that these are found in them, because they do not know how to make decisions. They do not know right and wrong. But once they cross the line into the age of accountability, now these 3 sins are burning in them. Now they have know how to make decisions inclined toward these 3 potent and powerful emotions: the lust, the desires, and the pride of life. You think the Lord does not know this? And that's why the Lord says, you want to love me, you want to be my disciples, then you must hate what I hate. And the Lord says, these are the people that I want you to hate. You want to fight against Him? God said, carry on. But don't say you love me in the process. But if you say you love me, ye that love the Lord, you love the Lord, then you must hate this evil. And the evil are not just evil things. It includes people, as you will see throughout this camp. And we will show you from the Bible, because sometimes we read too much of these new evangelical books out there. Oh, God loves sinner, God hates sin. This kind of half-truth has polluted our mind, and therefore our understanding of who God is and what God hates and who God hates are completely distorted. So we think that God will never hate a person. You must be joking. There are people on earth that God used the emotion called hate. And if you love God, and this is how God says, I hate them, you better hate them too. And if that person is your son, your daughter, you must also hate them. Otherwise, don't you dare say you love him, because God will not accept your version of love. Because this is his version. And he's not going to lower the standard or change his mind. This is it. There is no other place that he's going to have that will contradict this passage. You want the Lord to take care of you, to protect you on earth, to keep you safe, to keep your soul safe, to keep your witness safe. You love him and you hate evil. And this is what he promised. First, I will protect you. I will take care of you. Otherwise, you change the conditions, Don't expect me to. Because he's not going to sin just to protect you. Second blessing, 97 verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Light is shown, that means you don't have to walk in darkness. The word sown describe something that is guaranteed to bear fruit. Okay, the word sown means there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed is healthy, you put it in, guaranteed to bear fruit. So this light, that is the word of God, is sown for the righteous. That means if you truly have the word of God in your soul, if you truly accept Christ as Lord and Savior, it is impossible for you not to end up as the righteous. Righteousness will blossom from within your being, and then it will emanate outward to everyone to see. Now, we all know this from Romans, that whenever a person is born again in Christ, he is given, imputed with the righteousness of the law. That's what it means by light is sown for the righteous. That means the light of God's word. The more you study God's word, the more of the righteousness of the Lord will shine forth, so much so that the light of knowing what is right and what is wrong will be yours to enjoy. If you don't know God's word, you make bad decisions. You make poor decisions. You know that. That's why the word of God is key. It is the key to help us bear a godly witness that is acceptable to the Lord. No other way. That's why God is so good and so merciful to give us such a big book, so that every area of your life is taught in the Bible, so that there is no area of your life that you need to grope in darkness. God gave us more than you and I need from the Word of God to succeed and to be victorious at the end of your life. In other words, your Heavenly Father, whom you say you love, wants you to be victorious and succeed. He wants to say to every one of us, well done and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Because if you don't follow after God giving you the light, and you keep on turning it off, you keep on closing your eyes, even though the light is right in front of you, you have no one to blame but yourself. Plodding in darkness when the light is right in front of you, and you purposely don't want to see. You are not blind. If you are born again, if you are not born again, it's gone. But if you are truly born again, you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior with all your heart and with all your soul. You know that you have died with Christ, and you know you have risen with Christ. You know that the life that you now live is no longer your own, but it is the life of Christ that you must live, and which is the life of faith lived according to the Bible. This is not something that is of the will of man. This is the work of the Spirit of God in us that will compel us, like a seed that is very good and very healthy. The moment you put into the good soil, it will definitely bear fruit. The Word of God is the power, is like the seed. Once it is in the soul of a person who is truly born again, it is impossible for him not to bear righteous seeds. The Lord has sown in your heart righteousness and gladness for the upright in heart. And so you will know what will make you happy. You will know what are the things that give you the greatest joy. Not doing evil things will give you great joy. Doing what God loves and you love the same gives you great joy. It is not the joy that is carnal and material. It is not the joy that is dependent upon doing well at work. I got my bonus, I got my promotion. These are the kind of joy that is never talked about or emphasized in the Bible. Because the Lord says, beware of covetousness. Your life and my life is more than what you possess. So stop measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess. Isn't that true as a child of God? If you do not know this and you still continue to find your confidence and measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess, then you are not a Christian. That kind of mindset and mentality is found out in the world where the devil is God. The devil has blinded the mind of the people whereby they have always have this same idea. Please measure your life by the abundance of what you possess. That's the story of the world out there as the devil has sown it. That is what he has sown whenever you go to school, whenever you turn on your computer into the internet, whenever you read the news, everything from the television to the radio, this is the song, the tune that the devil has been promoting. Measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. Forbes book keep on putting every January the new list of the richest people on earth. Right? And then they will promote these people. Who's the richest person this year? And next year, who is the richest person? How many billions they have? What kind of cars they have? What kind of yacht they have? What kind of planes they have? What kind of homes they have? Plural homes. How big they are, this and that, no end. And then when you read all these things, your eyes glitter. Your heart is touched and moved. That's the way of the world. Measure yourself by the abundance of what you possess. And then at the end of the life, that is for these billionaires, what do they do? What do they have? They die in sin, and where do they go? Hell. The devil mesmerized them into forgetting that naked you came into this world, naked you will depart this world. And if you do not find someone to fix your sinful state, you're going to die in your sin and end up in hell. He does not want you to know this truth. He wants you to keep on living in sin and luxury so that you will be duped and lulled into a false sense of safety and wellness and security. And then hoping that you will die in your sin soon, and then you end up in hell to join him ultimately in the lake of fire. He needs your company. He wants your company. God says, don't go there. Don't go there. The word of God and the light of God has been sown in the heart of the righteous. And the righteous people will know what are the things that give them the greatest joy and delight. None of these things are found from the earth. None of these things are measured by the yardstick of materialism. All of them are measured by the yardstick of eternity, and they are all spiritual. What are the things that give you the greatest joy? As a parent, the greatest joy would be the salvation of my own children. Are all your children born again? Seriously. Can you say in your own heart that your sons and your daughters are born again? If they are not, your greatest concern for them is their salvation. That means they depend on you to show them what exactly God requires of you. Because they're not going to read the Bible. They're not going to go to a sound biblical church because they don't care about Christ. They do not know Christ. And if they are in an unsound church, which is even worse, because they are being poisoned and polluted. That's why when some of our church members ask us when they are in China or some parts of the world, they write me an email. Reverend Quack, how important is it to go to church where I'm working for the next 3-4 months? There is no sound church for me to go to. There's only this charismatic church. There's this new evangelical church. Please advise me. Do you have an internet? They say yes. Then my counsel to you is this. It's better not to go to an unsound church to be poisoned week after week. Because if you do not go to a church, at least you are not poisoned. But then you must still grow. So please use your Wi-Fi and get into our church website and listen to God's word and worship there between you and the Lord at home. Every Lord's Day, you still keep the Lord's Day holy by worshiping at your own home, in your own home through the internet. Rather than to go to any of this new evangelical church and charismatic church and be poisoned. That's my counsel. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? You know the church is unsound. You know the church promotes the Antichrist, energized by the devil. You know that church is part of the World Council of Churches. What are you doing there? If you're truly born again in Christ, your presence in those places in itself, it's already an endorsement of what they stand for. It's endorsement. And then what are you going to do? Don't give tithe and offering? So when they stand up and worship, you're going to sing with them? You're going to sing hymns with them, together with them? You know very well that these people are all part of the ecumenical movement. These people are all duped and deluded. And they are all worshipping the Antichrist because the church is part of the World Council of Churches. And you stand and you worship with them and you give your offering. And if you're not going to sing with them, you're not going to give your offering, then what is the point? What is the point of going? And just like we tell our children, when their close cousin married a Roman Catholic, we told them, you cannot go. And this is the reason why, children. We know, mom and dad know that you are all adults. And we want you to make your own decision. We don't want to force you. But this is the reason why mom and dad are not going. And we told the girl's parents that we can't go. I talked to her before she got married, while she was engaged. You're going to break off your engagement. You call yourself a Christian. He's a Roman Catholic. He's not a Christian. And I show her all the Bible verses. She won't listen. The parents back her up. And because the parents back her up, who am I, an uncle? Won't listen. Then I told our children, you cannot attend. And they put on the Facebook their date of engagement, their date of marriage, and all the other cousins who are not believers. And some of them are in some of these ecumenical, new evangelical churches, like in the Methodist church. They, oh, congratulations, congratulations. I said to our children, please don't say anything. Don't write anything. There's nothing to congratulate. She called herself a Christian, and then now she has brought shame to the name of Christ. She compromised the faith. She has just condemned her future husband to hell by what she's doing. Nothing to congratulate. And then later on, the invitation came to attend the Sunday afternoon brunch or lunch as a celebration. I said to the children, mom and dad are not going. We can't go, because if you go, you are giving an endorsement to what she's doing. And then we told them, we don't want you to go there and rebuke her too. You don't go there and create a scene and start scolding her. And so the best way is, you can't congratulate. We don't want you to create a scene and start rebuking her. The best way is, tell them, we can't go. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. God will give you the light to know what to do. He will give you the wisdom to know what to do. You think it does not hurt and break our hearts? Angie carried this niece of ours when she was a baby in her arm. But because of what she is doing, and she called herself a Christian from our previous church, we cannot go. We must not go for her eternal salvation's sake. If we were to go, what does that mean? You know the message that we are going to send if we attend. What is the message? Our children know, if you marry an unbeliever, you don't expect mom and dad to be there. We will never endorse what you are doing. No matter how it hurts us, we must do what is right, because we love Christ more than we love you. Because to do what you want us to do by disobeying Christ, by loving evil, you call yourself a Christian, you marry an unbeliever, you are basically saying that Jesus Christ has fellowship with the devil, Belial. Does he have? And if I attend, if mom and dad attend, we are agreeing with you. That means this is what God hates. I cannot love. By attending, I'm loving. That is why the Lord is very, very clear. You love me, you hate evil. And if you do that, I protect you. And the Lord has sown the light to help you make the right decision. It's in the Bible. Please study the Bible. Please make it a topmost priority in your life. Because if you don't study the Bible, even if you are a believer, you will keep on making mistakes in your decision making. You will keep on walking in spiritual darkness, even though your eyes have been spiritually opened. But because of your lack of knowledge of God's Word, for whatever reason, please don't let the study of God's Word be taken out of your topmost priority. Please sacrifice anything and everything. If your home is too far away from church for Bible study, move your house, which was what one of our church members did. He used to live in East Coast. And then when he came to know the truth, he has two teenage children. He thought he could come to a BP church that was nearer to his home. So he called up Life Church in the middle of town, Newton Circus. He wanted to go to that church because it's BP. It's the mother of all the BP churches in Singapore. First one. And so he called up. He asked one simple question, because he knew about the VPP issue. Does this church believe the Bible has mistakes? The secretary was very wise. Please talk to my pastor. And so Charles Sid answered the phone. Does this church believe the Bible's mistakes? Yes, this church believes the Bible's mistakes, but don't worry, the mistakes are very minor. Don't worry, very minor. Doesn't affect your salvation. It's okay, come. They put down the phone. They moved his house to Upper Bukit Timah so that he can come to Pandan. He moved his house. You are prepared to do that? Today he is one of our deacons. You are prepared to do that? You honor the Lord will honor you. The light is sown for the righteous. If you are truly born again, you have the righteousness of Christ in you, that is according to the law, you must have the light. Because the light is now sown in your being. You know what to do. You know what to say. You know how to react. You know what to do. As a parent to the children, as a grandparent to your grandchildren and to your children. You must know what to do according to the Bible. How to relate to your friend. How to relate to your possessions. How to relate to your enemies. God's enemies. All these, the Bible will show you and teach you. And as a child of God, you always want to do what is righteous. So that you will truly, when obeying God's word, have the right kind of gladness. The right kind of joy. Because you have an uprightness in your heart. Because your heart is righteous. Your heart is pleasing to God. Because you do what God wants. Even though it hurts you. It breaks your heart. Because your children will not understand if they are not believers. They will think that you don't love them. They will think that you hate them. That's exactly what Luke 14 says, isn't it? Because now you are prepared to do what God wants you to do than to do what they want you to do at the expense of disobeying the word of God. Disobeying to do what is right. And that's how you show your love to them. Because if they know that you are prepared to disobey Jesus Christ for them, and then you want to share Christ with them, they will laugh at you. You love me more than you love Christ. And now you want me to believe in this Christ? Who is this Christ? I am more important to you than Christ. And then you share the gospel with them, and then you pray to God, God, please save my son, save my daughter. God says, you love evil. How can I answer that kind of prayer? You love me, you hate evil. You love your son more than me. That is evil. Do you not know? Do you not know? And then you pray, to God, please save my son, save my daughter. And you are running out of time. Because you are getting on in years. And you do not know by the time you breathe your last breath. And your son, your daughter, they are not believers yet. You can die with your eyes closed and you are happy. You are really happy that you can leave this world knowing that your son and your daughter are still heading toward hell. And the tragedy is you are a contributor to that. Because you should have loved God and hate evil, but instead you try to love God and love evil at the same time. And God says, that kind of love is not found in the Bible. And I will not accept that kind of love. And then in the book of Luke, we read a moment ago, and we're going to talk more about that in greater detail. Whenever you find a fight or battle, when you don't do this and do that, you plan. You want to be a follower of Christ, you better count the cost, you better plan. Because the moment you call yourself a Christian and you do not follow Christ properly, you do not know what Christ expects of you, and you call yourself a Christian, you know how many people closest to you will be stumbled by you. Because the Christ you're going to project to them will be a distorted Christ. It is a Christ that will be characterized by loving God and loving evil. And God says, I don't know that kind of Christians. And that kind of Christ is not found in the Bible. And if you do not stop it now, enough damage is already done. Don't damage anymore. Please do what is right. For Christ's sake. Not for me, not for anyone. For Christ's sake. And for the salvation and the soul of the people whom you have already stumbled. Show them. Let them see. Let them know the Christ of the Bible, who is a holy and wonderful Savior. That's the second blessing and benefit. That if you really love God and you hate evil, God says, I will take care of you. And I will give you the light to help you live a life of holiness and righteousness that will give you the right kind of joy and gladness. Even though the world hates you, the joy will still be found in your being, in your soul. Even if you are crucified on the cross, you will still have this joy within your soul. Because you know that your crucifixion is because of your obedience to Christ. Your children may hate you. Everyone around you may hate you because you obey your Lord. But that is the Christ they need the most. The Christ whereby you will always love Him and hate evil. And by hating evil, please understand the evil there includes people. anyone in your life that causes you to disobey the word of God, you hate. Because if you don't hate, guarantee it's only a matter of time and you're going to succumb. That's why it's a very strong emotion. You know what hate means, right? Something that is despicable. Something that is heinous. You know, some people hate durian. I don't know why. They hate durian. The moment they smell it, they won't let it be brought into MRT's train. They won't let you bring into the airplane. They won't let you bring into all these places to transport because the smell is super powerful. You have to vacuum pack 5 times, perhaps. Then only maybe you can seal the thing in. Right? You wrap it and you wrap it and you pack it around with belacan also, the smell comes through. But as durian is powerful and you eat it, you come back home, they still smell the durian. Durian is a very powerful, powerful fruit. But there are some people who can't stand it. They will say that, oh yeah, it smells like rotten eggs and rotten dead flesh, whatever it is. That kind of hatred. They can't stand it. They hate it. Now that is the kind of feeling and emotion. Are there things that you hate? Are there things that you hate? I'm sure there are things that you hate. I know people hate cockroach. They hate lizards. They hate bugs. Creepy crawlies. You know the feeling of hate, right? Use the same feeling and employ it into the things and the people that God hates. It's not a strange feeling. We know what hatred means. It's a feeling and emotion that we all have experienced before. But the problem is, the right kind of spiritual hatred that we need to exercise, we refrain. And that is to our own hurt and the hurt of the people around us that we are supposed to love and care for. Please, God says, you love me, you must hate evil. It's the only kind of love that I accept. Anything less than this, you don't love me. Because everything that I love, you must love. And everything I hate, you must hate. Everyone that I love, you love. Everyone that I hate, you hate. Plain and simple. And I will protect you. And I will show you the light. It has already been sown in the heart of everyone who is righteous. So that you will live a life that is holy. Verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous. And give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Because you are holy, you see. When you stay away from sin and all the evil things, what will be the outcome of your life? As a child of God, holiness. Holiness. Holiness means to get rid of sin, get rid of evil in your life. That's holiness. Godliness means you do all things that God wants you to do. That's why holiness and godliness, they are twins. You cannot separate the two. Godliness means they want to see God in you. That means all the fruit of the Spirit, all the positive. Holiness means all the negative doctrines you obey. In the law of God, there are 613, right? We talk about this. 365 of them negative. The remainder, 249, they are positive. Holiness means all the negative, thou shalt not, I obey. Holiness. Stay away from sin, stay away from evil, stay away from evil people. Have the right attitude toward them, and that is to hate them. Hate them. Because when you hate them, you stay away from them. And when you fall into sin, you repent and get rid of them. Because you do not want the things that you hate to be stuck to your testimony. You get rid of them. That's why when you don't hate the evil things, you toy with them, you massage them, you allow them to remain in your soul, in your mind, in your heart. You want to get rid of them because you don't hate them. Anything and everything that you hate, you will have nothing to do with them. And therefore, everything that is sinful, you've got to hate. And when you hate them, what do you think will be the outcome? You'll be holy because you're already holy in Christ. Now, we're not talking about salvation by good works. We're talking about believers who are already washed by the blood of Christ. Now we're talking about how your witness and your testimony has been damaged because you have been loving evil. And you have not been making the right decision. And because of that, your testimony for Christ is in shambles. And people are confused. One moment they see holiness, next moment they see evil. Because you try to love both. God says, I want you to send only one message. And that is the message of holiness. That's it. Be ye holy as I am holy. That's what the Lord wants. This is what I want your life to emanate. And I will protect you. And I've given you the light to all the righteous ones to ensure that the outcome of your witness and your testimony is holiness. Remembrance of His holiness, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. That's why you can thank God for His holiness, because you are holy too. You see, when a person is in sin, you think they will thank God for God's holiness? They will never. They'll be too ashamed. Right? Too ashamed. Because they are not holy. But if the person is holy, and they remember, my God is holy too. So even if my family hates me, you think we were very popular to the family of ours when we say that we will not attend the wedding? And now I'm facing a similar situation. This is another family, and this time a young man, to make it even more complicated. He's a member of our church. I baptized him, my nephew. And now I go to talk to him when I go back and explain to him. He's getting married in November. And I'm going to talk to him because the girl has been invited to our church. And he says, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to attend. And he still wants to go ahead and marry her. And so we have to take another stand. Because if I don't, let's say I attend this wedding, what do you think the other family will do? You didn't want to attend my daughter's wedding when she married a Roman Catholic. Now this other family, my nephew, he's going to marry an unbeliever. You attend? I can't. And the parents are also church members, Pandan church members. And so I've got to talk to him first and tell him in very plain terms. First and foremost, I'm going to ask him, are you truly born again in Christ? I'll ask him plain and simple. If he says no, fine. You're not born again in Christ, resign membership from the church. You know what that means, right? You've heard enough of the gospel. Are you very sure that you are not born again in Christ? Remember you wrote the testimony when you were baptized. You say, yes, I am. Then I say, you've got to break off this engagement. And you've got to tell everybody whom you have sent the invitation that the marriage has been called off. The wedding is called off. The shame, what shame? What shame? Your face or the name of Christ? Whose shame are you talking about? Shame that you are bringing to Christ's name by marrying or by breaking off this engagement? Your face is going to be shame. You are thinking of your face? Your face is not going to save anyone from hell. Christ's name will save people from hell. You better think of the shame that you're bringing to Christ. That means you've got to break it off. If you really love her, you cannot say you're a Christian and love her more than you love Christ. I will show him Luke 14. Jesus says, you are my disciple. These are the people you hate. And if you are not, Jesus says, you are not my disciple. You have no power to be my disciple. And if you refuse, we cannot attend the wedding. And then we have to talk to our children too. And then I'm going to talk to the parents who are our members and explain to them. You think they are not going to be angry? I hope they are not going to be angry. But if they are, what can I do? What can I do? I got to rejoice in the Lord. When the people, your family members closest to you, hate you. We are human beings. That's why my rejoicing is in the Lord. Because that will give me the strength to accept the anger and the hatred of the people in our lives. Who do you want? Rejoice in the lives of these people, and then the Lord is upset and angry with you and hate you. You choose. Do you really love the Lord? If you do, you're going to make a very, very simple choice. Because what He wants you to do may result in the people, your son, your daughter, your grandchildren hating you. Because you hold on to your stand, your faith. But the Lord will love you. You can rejoice in Him. But if you choose your son, your daughter, and disobey the word of God, they will love you. But you remember, you can't rejoice in the Lord, and the Lord will hate you because you have brought shame to the name of Christ by your compromise. And you are trying to love God and love evil. God says, I don't know this kind of love. And if you go in that direction, let's say if I attend the wedding, even after I repented and I say sorry, every time they will show their wedding photo, my face will be there. Why did Reverend Craig compromise and attend the wedding when I married an unbeliever? Even after I repented, every time they show, every time they look, it will be a testimony of my compromise. True? Your decision at the crossroad of the lives of many people, don't let it be a Kadesh Barnea. Please, you do not know when it is. But if you keep on disobeying, you remember what the Israelites experienced. They kept on murmuring, kept on disobeying, kept on sinning until such a time, that's it. That's it, it's over. It's done. Sealed. God is all powerful. Don't play the fool with Him. He is alive. He has eyes, He can see. He knows your heart and He knows my heart even before the emotions entered into our hearts. He knows your mind, He knows your thinking, He knows your mood, He knows everything. Please, when you and I talk about Him as the one living and true God, please understand what that means, the phrase, one living and true God, that means He is alive. He is not dead, He is not blind, you know. So please don't play the fool with Him. Don't try to love God and love evil at the same time. He is not mocked by our hypocrisy. Please, be serious with Him. Eternity in heaven and in hell is at stake for your son, for your daughter, for your friends, and for your grandchildren, because if you are a grandparent, please understand, they die in sin, they end up in hell forever and ever. It's a place of great torment and pain. And if you compromise, you may have sweet fellowship with them for 20 years or whatever that you have left on earth. But you bear in mind, if you are born again and you are prepared to sacrifice their soul to go to hell so that you can enjoy 20 years or less of peace on earth with them, rather than to experience their anger and bitterness and hatred for you because you stand on truth, then you don't really love Christ and you neither do you love your son or your daughter. Because you are prepared to enjoy your moment of peace on earth at the expense of sending your son's soul to hell by your compromise. Of course, the Lord is not pleased with your life. Rejoice in the Lord. That is the only one that you must give you the greatest joy. Nothing else. And that means you love everything that He loves, you hate everything that He hates, and then you will learn to give thanks whenever you remember His holiness, because by living a life where you hate evil, you will be holy. Because nothing evil will dare to come close to you. When you fall into sin, you repent straight away, and you get rid of sin, because that's what hatred will do for you when you hate everything evil. Love Him. Hate evil, the Lord protects. The Lord will show you the way of truth. He has sown the light. It is yours to use to guide you toward what? Toward a testimony of holiness. Now, do you want this? Do you want your life to be holy? Do you want the Lord to show you every step of the way that you don't have to grope in darkness on how to live your life? And the Lord will protect you, He promised. And His terms are, you love me and hate evil. That's it. If you are truly born again in Christ, you know that these are the words of your Savior, not mine. And this is what He says. You can read it for yourself. And if He is truly your Lord and your Savior, please, Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice. Hear Him with a heart of obedience. And if you are in sin, repent with a broken and a contrite heart between you and the Lord. Before Him, and do what is right, and ask God to give you the courage and the strength to do it with whatever time you have left on earth. Now remember, the test of your love for Christ is when you are forced to choose between obeying the Lord and obeying the person dearest to your heart on earth. It's not you and the stranger. That's why biblical separation is not Billy Graham. I can use all kinds of adjectives to describe him. I don't know him from Adam. But if my relative, my own son, commit the same transgression as Billy Graham, dare I to use the same adjectives to describe him? I should and I must. Because that's where the real test is of my devotion to the Lord. That's the real test. It's not a total stranger. It's the people that's dearest to your heart on earth. That's why God asked Abraham to offer Isaac. Not offer the wife. He loved Isaac more than Sarah. Not offer the servant. Not offer any animal. He knew, the Lord knew Abraham loved Isaac. Now the Lord wants Abraham to know, do you love me more than Isaac or not? So how much do you love the Lord? More than your son, your daughter, whoever it is, your grandchildren? Whereby you will obey the word of God and not disobey the word of God just to pander to their whims and desires and fancies. Because if you do, God says, you don't love me. And if you do not love him, you are in trouble. He is the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord reigneth, and he is present in the whole world. He's a great God, a powerful God. And you do not want this great and powerful God to be angry with you. Because you call yourself a Christian. Remember, everyone who calls himself a Christian always commit a double sin, at least. Worse is to bring shame to the name of Christ. Please, understand how important your witness is to your children and to your grandchildren, to your friends who are in sin. If they can't see Christ in you and you call yourself a Christian and not the Christ of the Bible, how can you look them in the eye and say, son, daughter, I love you? You don't. Because if you love them, you want them to be found in heaven. But the state and the condition that they are in, they are not. They are still heading toward hell. And what they need is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ wants you to carry the image of Christ correctly to them. And the starting point is, you love me, you hate evil things, and all things evil. And you never compromise. Your choice. These are God's word. Will you hear? Will you listen? And will you obey? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. And as we commence this camp, O Lord, we know that this camp is organized by your appointment, and you have laid upon our heart to focus our theme on Psalm 97, verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. We live in the last days, O Lord, and the world of compromise is all around us, and there's so much false Christianity being promoted all around us, so much so that true Christianity has been so badly distorted and diluted that we too have fallen prey to the deception all around us. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we may see. Help us, O Lord, not to think that we are believers when we try to love God and love evil at the same time. Forgive us. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For as children of the Most High God, we truly desire to love Thee and love all the things that You love, and to hate evil, all the things that You hate, and all the people that You hate, we hate too. And I pray, O Lord, that You will be merciful to bring conviction to every heart, that we may realize how important we are to the friends and family members in our lives who are outside Christ. And because we have not lived the way we ought to live, by loving Thee and hating evil, we have compromised and we have stumbled them. And we have presented to them a Christ that loves God and loves evil at the same time. Forgive us. Whatever time that we may have left, O Lord, grant to us the conviction, the discernment, and the courage to do what is right, so that you may use us to save the souls of our sons, our daughters, our children, our grandchildren, our friends, so that before the Lord returns, or before we leave this world, we pray for thy mercy upon them, that perhaps you may allow us to see their salvation before you take us home to glory. Help us, O Lord, to realize the great tragedy that we are facing if we do not love thee and hate evil and call ourselves children of God. Help us in these last days to be true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of the many around us who are dying in sin, and for the sake of our Savior and his blessed name. May thou bring conviction and transform us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.